Well, good morning. Great to see you all. If you'd like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 6 is where we are. We're working our way through this Gospel. Chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 25 to 40 today. As you're turning there, I think there's a kind of a subtle reality that lives in the hearts of many Christians. Actually, we could probably say that stronger. There's a subtle reality in the heart of every Christian that causes us no end of trouble. As Christians, we believe in Jesus. We worship Jesus. We learn about him. We bring him our troubles. We bring him our anxieties. We bring him our thanks as well. But even as we do all of those things, even as we focus so much on Jesus, sometimes we can begin to slip in the just hidden places of our hearts, maybe without even noticing it very much ourselves. So that instead of seeing Jesus himself as our life, we begin to seek Jesus as the one who can give us something else. Something else that we believe will give us life. You see the difference? Instead of seeking Jesus as the goal, we begin to seek him as the means to another goal. Now, it may not look that different at first on the outside. I mean, we're still seeking Jesus, right? And that's good, right? Well, maybe. Maybe not. Jesus absolutely is the right one for us to seek, but we must be very careful that we don't begin to seek him as a means to some other end. Some other thing that we really want more than we want him. We must recognize that he is in himself everything we need and everything that we long for, actually. And that's actually wonderful, glorious truth, that everything we long for is found in Jesus. And he invites us to come close to him. But it's easy to slip sometimes, to become more focused on the blessings that we can get from him rather than seeing that he himself is the great blessing. So that's what we'll see in our passage today. But first, let's just get some context of where we are in the Gospel of John. At the beginning of chapter 6, you'll remember verses 1 to 13, Jesus fed this massive crowd with just a tiny lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. He fed over 5,000 people. And there's actually 12 baskets full left over. A very impressive display of God's power. Also God's care for people, his ability to provide for our needs, which is wonderful. Then in verse 14 and 15, the crowd were ready to crown Jesus as king, even by force if necessary, whether he likes it or not. But he slips away. He is absolutely the king, but he is not willing to be king on their terms. He'll be king on his terms. He sends the disciples away across the Sea of Galilee. And then last week we looked at verses 16 to 21. Colin showed us how Jesus was walking on the water out to join his disciples as they struggled in the boat. Another big display of Jesus' power and authority, this time over creation. And then in verses 22 to 24, we see the crowd looking for Jesus. They realize he's gone, but they know he didn't get in the boat with the disciples. So where did he go? And now we'll pick it up in verse 25 after they find Jesus on the other side of the lake. And they're kind of wondering, you know, about the logistics of that. How did he get here? They don't realize, you know, he walked on the water. That's probably not something they would have thought of immediately. But Jesus cuts through those questions. That's not what it's about. He gets to the heart of what really matters most for them. So let's read, picking up in verse 25 to 40. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "Well, what sign will you give us that we may believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Amen. This conversation starts with a question about, you know, how Jesus got there. But Jesus changes the focus very quickly to the real issue of why were they looking for him in the first place? What were they hoping to find? And Jesus uses this opportunity to point them to a very important truth. So as we work through this passage, we'll ask three questions. One is, first, where do you think your life, true life, really comes from? And then how will you find it? And finally, to the point, will you look to Jesus? But first, where do you think true life really comes from? Look at verses 26 and 27 again. Jesus answers them. He says, "Truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Remember, Jesus is talking here to his fans. He's got this really big, really enthusiastic fan club, basically. So enthusiastic, they're ready to just make him king by force if necessary. Most people would be flattered to have so many people think so highly of them. But Jesus is not swayed by their approval. And in fact, he kind of shows them that they're not thinking highly enough of him. But he really gets to the heart of it. He says, basically, you guys just want more bread. You miss the whole point of the miracle with the bread and the fish. This was a sign. It was meant to point your attention beyond itself to more important things. And all you can think about is, can you get some more food right now? He redirects them to a different goal in verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which is what the Son of Man can give you. This is about as clear as you can get. You know, I mean, he's telling them, don't focus on the food that feeds you for just one day. Focus on the one who can give it. He can give you eternal life, provision that lasts forever. Not just one meal. This sign, this miracle with the food, it was meant to show them that God has placed his seal of approval on Jesus. It was meant to display clearly that Jesus is God's Messiah, given for the life of the world. He's the one that gives life, real life. Food is good. I mean, we do need food to live. Can't really go without it for very long. But the food that we eat, the life that food gives us, is always temporary. And Jesus can give us those temporary needs. He can provide food like he did with that day with this miracle that he did. He can sustain our temporary needs. In fact, he created food in the first place. So the reality is that every bite of food we enjoy, every provision we have in, for any need, ultimately is his provision. But the miracle of giving the food to the crowd was a sign to show that the true source of life is not actually their food. The true source of life is Him. Life comes from Jesus. That's what the miracle was about. They worked so hard to find Jesus on the other side of the lake. They came to Jesus, and that was the right place to come. They came to the right place, to the right person. But they came looking just for one more piece of bread. And Jesus basically is saying, guys, you know, open your eyes. Your focus is wrong. I have so much more that I can give you. Coming to Jesus is right. But why you come and what are you coming for? That's key. And I wonder this morning, where do you think true life really comes from? I wonder how often we come to Jesus like this crowd. I've done it many, many times myself. We can easily come to Jesus looking just for the benefits that He gives. Like the bread, the temporary kinds of blessings, the good things that we love, and that's it. And of course, it's not wrong at all to ask for God's provision for temporary needs. He actually told us that we should ask. He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We can, we must depend on Him for the provision of our daily needs. But there's so much more to our relationship with God than just getting our daily needs out of Him. Just getting what we want out of Him. What Jesus wants them to see, and I think us as well, is that they have much deeper needs than just their hunger for bread. They need life. They need real life, true life. And as good as bread is, it is not going to provide that for them. All it can do is sustain their living for a little longer. And if it's delicious, you know, it can give them some temporary pleasure as well. Bread is good. It can be very good. But that's not the same thing as real, true, lasting life and real, true, lasting satisfaction. Where do you think real life really comes from for you this morning? What do you think will bring that life to you? Do you think you'll find it in collecting for yourself the things you need here on earth? Plenty of food, plenty of things, toys, nice house, nice car, good relationships. Is there some particular thing that in your heart you say, if I could just have that, that thing, that person, that whatever it is, then I'd really be living? Or maybe there's something you already have and your heart says, if anything happened to that or to that person or whatever it is, if I somehow lost that, my life would be over. There's a lot of great blessings in the world. There's a lot of great provisions from God, and there's nothing at all wrong with having blessings or enjoying them, having the provision of God. It's good. It's wonderful. But your life doesn't come from those things. It doesn't even come from other people. You can't hold on to any of those good things that you find here on earth, no matter how many you get to enjoy. Life is limited. Everything on earth is limited, and everything is temporary. Nothing and no one on earth is able to be enough to give you the life that you really need. Do you want real life? Do you want provision that actually meets your needs, that never fails, that truly satisfies? Jesus says, do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Even as Christians, I think sometimes we can slip on this. We can begin to seek Jesus for the food that spoils, instead of the true life that only He can give. So let's consider our second question then. We thought about, where do you think your true life comes from? Let's think about, how will you find it? How will you find it? Jesus told the crowd to work for the food that endures. And they ask in verse 28, well, what must we do to do the work that God requires? So what is this work? And Jesus' answer is very important. In verse 29, He answers, the work of God is this. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. And then they ask, what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe in you? I mean, what will you do? And they give a suggestion. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they say, sir, give us this bread always. The people are still, you know, they're coming to the right source. They're coming to Jesus. They're asking a good question. What is the work of God? What should we do? How do we find this life? But we see from this interaction that they are still thinking about this wrong. In verse 31, they're still fixated on the bread. Like, okay, yes, you know, you want us to believe in you. We got that. Well, okay, we'd like to believe in you. So why don't you give us some bread and then we'll believe in you? Remember, Jesus had just given them a miracle of bread. That's why they're here in the first place. They'd already seen the miracle. They already have plenty of evidence, plenty of proof to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. But they hold out their belief in Jesus as a kind of bargaining chip. I mean, sure, we'll believe in you as long as you give us what we want. We'll give you what you want if you give us what we want. That's a very, very common way for people to interact with God even today. And we can easily do it ourselves, slip into trying to make these deals with God. God, I really need this. I really want this. And if you give it to me, I promise I'll make it up to you. I'll make it worth your while. Just give me that one thing and I'll be happy. As if God doesn't know or doesn't actually care about what we need. He does. He's proven it. Verse 32, Jesus said, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread. It was my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus is saying, you guys are looking for another Moses, but Moses wasn't the one who provided the manna. It was God. The same God who is now providing true bread from heaven, something far better, something that gives life to the world. You want God to provide for your needs. Look, he has. Look at Jesus. God has provided for your greatest need. You need forgiveness. You need somehow to escape the terrible consequences of your sin, your rebellion against God that brought only death and destruction. And God has provided life through Jesus, through him taking on our death on himself, the death that we deserved for our sin, on himself, so that God could bring us close to himself and remove the barrier that came between us. And so when we're close to him, we live. We live eternally because God's life never ends. God has provided for you. And how do we find this life? What is the work that we do to receive the food that endures? Verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is not to provide eternal life for ourselves. The work of God is not to impress God with our goodness. It is not somehow to atone for the wrongs that we've done. It is not somehow to balance out our sins with enough good deeds. The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus did the work of salvation already. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He conquered death already for us. The work is already done. Our work now is not to try to redo what Jesus has already done, as if we could somehow save ourselves. No, our work is to believe in his provision, to trust him, to receive his salvation as a gift, and then to recognize and accept and that his work is already complete. The work of God is to believe in Jesus and then to live out that belief, following him in obedience, believing that what he says is true and really is best for us. God has provided life for us already in Jesus. The work is already done. The invitation is open. We can come to him and freely receive what we could never, ever earn or create for ourselves. Real life. True life. True bread that gives life to the world. The crowd wants provision from Jesus, and Jesus is saying, you have it. Far more than you can even imagine. So much more provision. So much more than even those 12 baskets of leftover bread that you saw after the miracle. God has provided real life for you. True bread. Verse 34, though, the crowd says, oh, wait, did you say bread? Because we'd like some of that bread, please. They still can't get past the bread. But they don't realize that the bread that Jesus is talking about, the bread that is so much greater, that gives life to the world that never ends, that bread is Jesus. So our last point, our last question, will you look to Jesus? Verse 35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he's given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. He's already been very, very clear. Now he is clearer than ever. The bread that he's talking about, the bread that endures for eternal life, is him. It's Jesus. This is not just another good meal that will satisfy you for a day or a few hours or however long. This is complete provision. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is real life, real satisfaction of our deepest needs. It's hard to even imagine a provision that actually lasts, that never ends, because everything we look to here on earth, everything on earth is just so temporary. Every joy we have, every happy moment, every success, even every life. Every beautiful flower falls. Every great happily ever after story ends in the grave, no matter how long or glorious it might be. Jesus didn't come. He did not come to give us a little more temporary blessings. A little more bread. A little more happiness. A few more moments to enjoy. Those are good things. That's not why Jesus came. No, verse 40, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day. Why do you come to Jesus? What are you looking for from him? Where do you think real life really comes from? How will you find it? I think sometimes as Christians, we can take eternal life from Jesus and we thank him for it and we're happy. But then we kind of get used to the idea, okay, we've got that one sorted, and eternity just feels far away, and we start to focus more and more on our daily bread kind of needs and desires. What I need right now, what I want right now. And we can easily start to think again that really my life comes from those things. If I can get those things sorted, then I'll really be living. If I could just get a little more financial security, if I could just have a relationship like that or a career like that, or if I could just move to that place or get that recognition, if I could just get past this one trouble area or one trouble person, I don't know, or if I could just get that one thing or put that other thing behind me, then I'd really be happy. Then I'd really live. But I'm sorry. That's not how life works. God is absolutely interested in your daily needs. He is able to meet them. He has promised. He's interested in the desires of your heart. But if you think that he has failed to provide for you because he hasn't given you the kind of daily bread that you want right now, think again. God has provided for you much, much greater provision than any temporary gift that he could ever give. He's already given himself. I am the bread of life. He is life himself. And he gives himself freely to all who will come to him. This is the Father's will. God draws his children to Jesus. Verse 37, and anyone who comes to Jesus, I will never drive away. Verse 37, if you long to come to Jesus, that's a good sign that God is at work in you, drawing you to himself. Jesus will not drive you away. So no matter what you've done wrong, no matter how unworthy or ashamed you might feel, the Father and the Son have one unified purpose, and that is to save completely every one of God's people. Jesus will not fail in saving every person that the Father gives him. Verse 39. He will save his people all the way. They will be raised up on the last day and enjoy eternal life with him. Life that never fails. So, if you have not put your trust in Jesus today, I urge you to come to Jesus. He will not drive you away. You don't need to clean yourself up first. The work of God is not to clean yourself up. The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. The work of salvation is already done. You can trust him. You can come to him. You can follow him. You can believe him. And if you are trusting in Jesus this morning, remember, you already have far, far more than anything this world can give you. You already have far, far more than anything this world can take away from you. You have Jesus. No other blessing can compare, ever. No other blessing can come close. Whatever you long for right now, whatever you need today, God knows he cares about that. You can trust him. He promised to work all things together for your good. He has already given you the bread of life. He has already given you himself. You can enjoy the good things and the provisions that he gives you in this world, but don't put your hope in them. Don't twist things around and start seeking Jesus just for the temporary blessings he can give you. If you have Jesus, you have more than the whole world. No matter what you gain, no matter what you lose, no matter what you enjoy, no matter what you suffer, if you have the bread of life, you have everything. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we often lose our focus and lose sight of who you really are and how you are yourself, our life. Lord, how could we ever thank you enough for what you've done to bring us back to yourself, that you gave your life for us in our place and rose again so that we can have life that never fails in you. Lord, would you help us? Would you fix our eyes on you? Would you help us to see past all the distractions around us and see you for who you really are and find our hope in you, Lord? Amen.